This is a lot better than country music, this sound here, I'll tell you. I love this song.
Those fighting words, Stu.
I love this song. Hey, Joe Giuliano, thanks. Thanks for letting us play your music. On the Four Outdoorsmen, Stu Man Lukey, Sam is here, and the Fourth Outdoorsman, of course, is Brandon behind the glass.
Howdy.
Good to see you, pal. Thanks for being here, buddy, because I thought I was going to be here tonight by myself. For some reason, I thought, I don't think I've ever done a show all by myself. You have.
I have.
No, you had somebody in the studio,
well, Sam,
didn't you?
I always bring somebody because I cannot talk by myself all day.
I could.
I know you could. That's why you're the host of this show.
No, I think it. I tell you, take next Sunday off, right? It's on me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, take next Sunday off.
All right.
Wait, I got to
see. No.
You can't because you just started this gig. Hey, welcome everybody to the Four Outdoorsmen. That's boy, it's been nice. A lot of fishing, a lot of boating, a lot of good stuff. 4th of July is done, and lots of stories. You had a good week, Mark?
Yeah, it's been a great week.
Hey, but well, let's share the coincidence right now. My wife and I, of course, have a place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and Mark is renting his cousin's place in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, and I went to spend the evening with Billy Moles and his wife, Stacia, Friday. Billy Moles is the modern-day mountain man. He was nice enough to invite me out there for having a couple of beers and hot dogs and brats, you know, and doll sheep burgers is what we had.
Ooh.
Well, it turns out that I'm going to try to find the place where Mark is renting just to check it out. He's about, 200 yards away from Billy Moles' house.
Wow.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
Not more than that, and it's what a coincidence.
He goes, yeah, I turned in a driveway and a turnaround there because I wasn't on the right spot. I'm like, that's where I'm renting. I'm like, that's it.
Well, you know, and I was surprised. I thought the house would be much more massive and all that because of the price tag of but it's 100-some acres or something like that.
Yeah.
That's where the value is.
Right.
But, yeah, it was cool. I'm in the right place. I said, this couldn't be it. But he's about 200 yards away from Billy's house, so I was there.
Crazy.
So we've got to share that with Billy Moles.
That reminds me of, I thought the Rocky Mountains would have been a little more rockier.
That's funny.
How did your conceal and carry class go last Wednesday?
Good. You know, I've been having them pretty much every Wednesday for the past few weeks. I'm taking this week off because Kirsten and my two oldest are going down to Florida for the week. But I'm going to get back into it next week. But, yeah, it's been good. It's a lot of people have been reaching out, and I'm going to continue doing them probably every week just to,
Is it Wednesday nights you do the conceal and carry?
Yeah, but I think I'm going to switch to Thursday nights. I'm not set to one night.
You're your own boss, man.
Yeah.
Do whenever you want.
I'll probably do it. I'm going to keep it in the evenings. I'll probably do what I think I'm going to do is, like, the first 3 weeks of the month do an evening, last week of the month do a weekend day, just so, because some people, you know, prefer the weekend. So.
I guarantee that I'll have my son Mike call. He keeps asking me about it. Mike, call him. My son Mike wants to do it. And
was he scared?
No, not at all. And I think maybe he wants to get his wife, Erica, to do it as well. So yeah. We'll put him in touch with it. Hey, Brandon, are you there?
I'm here. What
all
can
right,
I do for
all
you?
Right,
here we go, Mark.
Not yet.
This is just a tease?
This is just a trivia question, okay? Because I listened to this. I thought it was really cool. Garth Brooks was singing the song Shameless, right? Know the song
Billy
Shameless?
Joel.
Oh, shoot. Get out of here.
Atta boy.
Did you guys know that Billy Joel sang Shameless before Garth Brooks did? I didn't know that.
Stru's been waiting since Tuesday to try and stump you, and you didn't even let him finish the question.
You wait till next Sunday's question.
I believe that Garth got that in like one of those, it was like the Columbia House kind of deal where you send off for a bunch of,
yeah.
I think it was tapes even,
yeah.
And he got a Billy Joel one and heard Shameless and fell in love with it. And yeah, I have to say, totally prefer the Garth version.
I don't remember Billy Joel's, but
it's on
an
album that's out there. Yeah, it's good.
It's probably more piano.
A little bit more
version.
Piano.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I that didn't work. I'm sorry about that.
Stru, did you have a good week?
I always have a good week. You know, we spent some time at the cabin. I don't think I played a round of golf.
What?
I don't think I did. Hmm. If I did, I didn't do well. That's for sure. But putzed around, did some. Oh, I stopped at my son's place. But just a nickel dime stuff. Spent a few days at the cabin, did some yard work, hopped into the pontoon. The same old stuff. You know, I feel Bill Murray and Groundhog Day, you know, but I was busy, and I was busy today. I had a great day today. Dinah's at the cabin, of course. I come back last night. Friday, I went to Billy Moles. Billy Moles is a modern-day mountain man. He's a good friend of ours from Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. Dinah and I have become really good friends with he and his family, Station, the kids, and we have him on a couple of times a year, and you will meet him, at least talk to him in a couple of weeks. He's going to be on. He's going back to Alaska the 1st of August. And so we're going to have him on the Sunday before he leaves and talk about what's going on because he missed a grizzly hunt. And I don't know what he's going to be hunting in August, but I spent Friday with him and some people and talked about, met some of his guests who were on those videos. And the, one of the guests who was at his house is involved in that video. It's called Face to Face. The guy's name is Don Johnson, and it's really, really moving, and it's very interesting. You're going to love it. And
like so, Miami Vice, Don Johnson?
No, no. Like,
someone has to mention
no,
that.
No, like Don Johnson Auto Sales in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. I already asked Billy about that. So we spent time Friday with him.
I'm like, are we going to just breeze over that his name's Don Johnson?
Yeah, Saturday, my wife and I went to visit my cousin, my nephew, on the Chautauqua chain, and I came home, and I went to see a good friend of mine who's an Elvis impersonator Saturday night all by myself, and because Diana said, I'm not going up there to see Howie Atherton one more time and then come back Sunday morning, so she's still at the cabin. Love you, honey, and I don't blame him, but Howie's... really sounds better than he ever has. And
was he all shook up?
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He was all shook up. That's because he gained a few pounds too. But, he's a friend of ours as well.
What song does he do the best impersonation?
I don't know, but Dinah would know because she.
Let me hear your best Elvis.
Oh, Stu's a crooner.
I will. Halfway through the show, I got to think of a song, okay. But I will. I'm going to just stop you, and I'm going to start singing.
Do it.
I'm going to start singing.
I'm used to that. What are you saying, Brandon?
I was going to make a request.
Go ahead, buddy.
Suspicious Minds.
Oh, that Diana absolutely hates that song.
How about In the Ghetto? I like that one.
Hey, speaking of that, I'm not going to share this with Diana, but this is interesting. So today I go to church, I come home and do my thing. I did a lot of research for other shows for the next couple of weeks, and I took my bike to the stadium. Rode a bike to the stadium to have a beer. They're playing a softball tournament there. And I'll tell you what, co-ed softball tournaments has changed drastically. All these girls could kick my ass.
Oh, yeah.
One of the teams, they're all really, really good ball players. And one of the teams who was in the finals had a left-handed shortstop who was a young lady. You should see her play. Holy buckets.
That's fun to watch. Hey,
but go ahead.
Just going to say, though, speaking of The Ghetto by Elvis, I think you guys should rewrite that song. And have it be In the Meadow and all about hunting.
Here we go. Oh, wow.
And Bambi's mama dies or something like that.
Love. No, okay, no.
That was good, man.
Rating spike.
I was going to hang up and listen.
I'll record that for you. Anyway, so Dinah, she'll get a kick out of this. The young lady waitress, I told Mark, but she was a cute waitress at the pub.
That's why you called them?
Oh, yeah, I called Mark. Mark, you got to check this one. Get your butt down here. Anyway, and she's walking toward me. She had a tattoo on her thigh.
Thigh.
A big tattoo, and I'm not a big tattoo fan. I'm a thigh fan. I'm not a tattoo fan, but I'm a thigh fan. So the thigh outweighs the tattoo. And I said, "Hey, what do you got on there?" She goes, and she told me, and it's Bob Dylan. It's a big picture of Bob Dylan, and I started laughing because my wife Diana despises Bob Dylan's stuff. I know he's a good writer. Once upon a time, and
that's pretty good.
Yeah. And so anyway, she let me take a picture of her thigh, and I was gonna, honey, I've got it on my phone. I'll show you when I'll send it when I get home or something. And George, a friend of ours, Diana knows George as well. He works at that bar, and he umpires out there, does a lot of groundskeeping and all that. And I'm on my knees.
I know George.
Do you? I like George. He's a good guy. He's a riot. Anyway, so I'm on my knees and. This lady had her back to the door going back into the bar. I'm on my knees taking a picture of her thigh, and George walks out with me having a camera at this lady's thigh. He doesn't know what's going on. He's, what the hell are you doing, Stru? And fortunately, he knew me, and anyway. So, honey, I'll show you Bob Dylan when I get home, and if we're still married tomorrow, I might step up. I've been busy. I've been busy.
Your Elvis impersonation was not half bad.
You ready for this?
Yes, please.
Wise men say only true. What is it? True what?
Love
wins. Love wins.
Anyway, I can. I'm okay. I used to be better than this. Ask me to sing Conway Twitty's Make Believe. I'll do that. I can
sing. Hey, Stu, could you sing Conway Twitty's Make Believe?
When I was working at Fisher,
why? Sure.
Listen,
that's what you asked. I wasn't prepared.
Yeah,
me.
I love music. I can sing at the drop of the hat. And Mark puts his hand on top of his hat. When I was working at Fisher Nug Company, there was a guy named Nels Johnson, an old guy. All he did was push a broom 8 hours a day. Slow as possible through the entire warehouse. And in the warehouse, anybody can sound good when they're singing. And I sang all the time. And he'd say, you know what? I love music as well. I got a request. I said, yeah. I said, what do you want? I want you to sing Far, Far Away and Over the Hill.
It's Fool's Rush In, by the way. I don't know what you were doing with True Whatever.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon.
Charlie.
I got to say really quick, no matter what music, Brandon is always on it. I love that about him.
I try.
What I like about him is he's shameless. That's what I like about him. So you had a good week. You had a good week?
Yeah, I had a busy week, of course. You know, back in the saddle, things are kind of... COVID is slowing down a little bit for me. And
I see you worked on your food plot. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
I did. I needed to get that done. I'm glad I did. So, yeah.
Was it like 1,000 degrees?
It was. It wasn't bad. The bugs were a little bit worse. But, I mean, honestly, this bugs don't really bother me. I don't know why. You know, some mosquitoes and bugs will go after
That's
someone.
Me. Yeah.
They go and
after
Diana.
Me. I'm the guy.
And Diana, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, for some reason, they like, you know, I'll walk away with like 2 or 3 bites. And if like my father-in-law was with me, like he'll walk away with like, you know, 100.
I heard like, that was like blood type or something. Yeah, or just some people just give off a aura of biteness.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess I'm not as sweet. But the raspberry bushes got me. I mean, I got thorned up pretty good. But yeah, so I got this new property and found a couple pockets of open area that was just some tall grass and a lot of tons of raspberry bushes on this property. Like, I mean, I'm amazed how many
natural ones.
Yeah, it's just like crazy.
So you might have bears around then.
There are, yeah, for sure. So I brush hogged this the whole field, and then I took down about, it was kind of like 2 fields, and in between them was 3 or 4 trees. And so I took out those trees and made it one big field. So it's probably 10, 15 yards wide by maybe a little over 100 yards. So it's, I'm going to put a blind on the one side of it. So it'll be really cool. But yeah, tilled up perfect. I'm going to go tomorrow evening and seed it and rake it a little bit. But yeah, it's, I love doing that, man. It's, I told my wife, you know, I get home, my legs are all cut up and, you know, I'm sweaty, my back hurts. I'm just like, I did that for deer. But I would do it again. You know, I love it. I love the sense of accomplishment of walking to this open area and kind of having a vision of how I want it. And I, you know, I funnel areas where I know deer will come in and I make them trails. I make, you know, I'm trying to just, you know, lead them to the buffet line, you know. And
this is all for bow hunting for you.
I'll do bow and shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big, I love to bring rookies.
Like me.
And me.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Schedule it. But yeah, I love bringing rookies. I get an adrenaline rush off rookies, you know, shooting their first deer. So I have I'm going to have a big box blind heated and all that. So it'll be comfort hunting. But yeah, I'll put some bow sets on it too.
Maybe a hunter stand?
It is. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, so no, that was fun to do. And like I said, I'm going to, then I took the brush. Have you ever used a walk behind brush hog?
Never.
No. They can.
Where do you get it? Did you own
rent
one?
No, okay. I'm gonna buy one though. But I rented it at Home Depot. It was $100 for the day, 24 hours, and it looks like a lawnmower, you know, on steroids. It's just, it's huge and, you know, fully self propelled. Actually, you got to be careful because it'll want to take you.
Even you?
Yeah. When I first hit the throttle, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, whoa. But you can, I literally would crawl up on like a, you know, you get those like 12-foot tall trees that are maybe, you know, 2 or 3 inches in diameter. It'll cut those down. You just kind of get up on it, like take it down. Anything.
Is that kind of the max, like 3-inch diameter?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. And if all that you need to do is you need to be able to bend that tree to get the mower up on top of it. And it'll shred it down to 2 inches from the ground. But yeah, you can, there was one path I had that, the the thorn bushes and raspberries were so thick. I couldn't have walked through it, and it mowed it down to, you know, it looked like a fairway.
Cool.
So I made a bunch of trails to stands, made some 4-wheeler trails, and it's kind of one of those things you get going on it, and you're like, I should do this.
It's like using a pressure sprayer. You do the deck, garage, you do the shed. Yeah, yeah.
They're just so powerful.
Well, how about Mark and I should go out there and help you if we're going to hunt there?
I'm down.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
I want to shoot, too.
Huh?
I want to shoot, too.
I thought you said I want to shoot you.
That, too.
Yeah, that's you.
No.
What do you mean, like, shoot guns?
Just shoot guns.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You and Stu?
I've never shot a pistol in my life.
Well, let's change that.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I never have.
Are you for real right now?
Cap gun.
I've never met one before.
Yeah. No, I never have. I've never shot a pistol. I've shot rifles,
let's make a date.
Shot guns. And
can I help you?
Sure.
Are you nervous?
Not at all.
Are you going to stand behind him and like...
Yeah. Like ghosts?
What's
yeah.
the song? What's the song? What's the song?
Unchained Melodies.
Give me a little bit of it.
Whoa. No.
Yeah. You know that song?
Of course I do.
Let's hear that one.
Oh, that's a tough one. That guy gets too high for me. He's dead anyway.
But of course, I'll be your Patrick Swayze.
Hey, I read a story about in the Chautauqua paper over the 4th of July reminding me of Mark and his family. And I'm going to have the Barron County Sheriff on the show next week, I hope. I've contacted him, left him a couple of messages because he was the one who was upon the scene. As a matter of fact, he's probably the same guy who stopped me on the 4th of July for not having the proper number of life jackets. Anyway, this was in the Chautauqua paper just yesterday morning, 2 days ago, whatever it was. A family outing tubing on Prairie Lake right by our place ended up with a father, mother, and kids ages 2, whatever it is, in the water and their motorboat out of control late Tuesday morning. So there's a mother, a father, and 3 kids, all right? The father was driving like Mark always drives, right? The boat with 2 kids, and also behind was mother and a 3rd kid in a tube. The boat struck a series of waves, which caused the dad and 1 kid to flip overboard. The 3rd kid freaked out so much he jumped overboard. Now there's nobody in the boat. It says one of the children was struck by the boat, not injured badly. The boat, now empty, has continued to make right-hand circles in the water, and people getting out, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Somehow the game warden, the Barron County Sheriff, was in the area, and his name was Fitzgerald and Jeff Wolf. They arrived on scene in the Sheriff's Department's boat and used a rope to jam loose the boat's propeller. I want to know how they did that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Unless, I want to know how they did that. They can't lasso it like, calf roping or something like that.
My mind went to that.
I wonder if they threw it ahead of it so it ran over it, maybe?
Unless there was
you
two
can't
boats.
Lasso it
unless there
underwater.
Was 2 boats, one on each side, and they came behind the boat, but it's spinning around. So I'm going to have to, hopefully these guys will get back to me. I've got to find that out. So fortunately, everybody's okay. And it could happen. So that's Mark Lukey and his family.
I don't know why that reminded me. Yeah. I was at...
don't jump off your boat, Mark.
Yeah. Bald Eagle.
Yeah. If we get knocked in, you stay here. Yeah.
Today I was at Bald Eagle with my dad and my son Nick, and we had a great time fishing. And it was absolutely jammed, right? There's cars, 6 cars deep. And I was wondering what the heck was taking so long. When I got to the front, my dad told me the story. So a guy and his family of 6 or whatever unloading the boat. The guy dumps the boat in the water, 6 of his family standing on the pier. No one bothered to grab the boat.
Yeah.
So the boat just floated away. So the dad was like, he parked, he was running, he was going to die. But somebody waiting ended up taking him out to the boat to go get it. But that I can relate to that. Just 6 people standing on the dock and no one bothered to grab the boat.
I saw a video on Facebook, I'll send it to you guys, where this lady was backing in her pontoon. So she had a crew cab Silverado. She was backing in her pontoon and got out. It must have been in neutral or something. Truck goes in.
Oh.
So all you can see in the landing is you can just see the roof of the cab. And a guy who must have lived nearby grabbed one of those big UTV razors, like a Polaris razor, hooked up the winch to it, and then they hooked up a tow strap to another truck, and they pulled it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did it start?
I don't know, but it's kind of funny because...
Well, that'd be a great commercial, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. All you can see is the hood, and you don't know what to expect watching the video. Here comes the truck, and then here comes a 20-foot pontoon on the trailer.
Should
I'm like...
a Polaris commercial.
Yeah, it should.
Hey, Brandon, how much time we got? Do I have time for one more story?
Make it snappy.
Okay, then I can't make it snappy. Screw man can't do anything snappy. Oh, one thing I can do snappy.
Oh,
that's about it.
Too much information.
Why don't you take us to break singing?
We'll be right back with the 4 Outdoors. We're going to get Chris Grandrud is going to be our first guest. He's with Rainy Days Guide Service on Rainy Lake. And, he's got some stories. He's got a hell of a background. Looking forward to talking to Chris right after this word.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
Hear ye, the Second Amendment lives. Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show is back. Saturday and Sunday, July 18th and 19th at the Lakeville Haas Arena. New guns, old guns, accessories, antiques, and more. Buy, sell, trade, all in one place. Open Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. Admission is $5 per day. Kids under 12 free with an adult. Parking available. Social distancing and masks recommended. Visit CrocodileProductions.com for details.
If you need a Northern Minnesota family vacation, then Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just might be it. Balsam Beach is the exclusive resort on the 2,500 pristine acres of Lake Plantagenet, with not only superb fishing, but plenty of family activities as well. Water sports, camping, hiking, everything is dedicated to your family. And Patty and Clint were awarded Resorters of the Year in 2019. It's time to find out why. Balsam Beach, a wonderful place with wonderful people.
You don't want to miss this. A three-night, six-person weekend stay at Bowers Resort for only $650. This deal won't last. So go to DealsOnRadio.com to take advantage of this limited-time offer.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
It's Brad Clark here once again with your Bob FM marketing keyword, consistent. In order to build your brand, you need a consistent message across all media, whether it's radio, TV, digital, or anything else. A consistent branding message will reinforce messages in all other media and strengthen all your marketing. If you need a consistent branding message, text the keyword consistent to 763-450-0100, and I'll give you a call with a special offer if you become a consistent advertiser. Keep listening for marketing keywords right here on Total Country Bob FM.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Attention, this is a very important message to anyone with $10,000 or more in credit card debt. With the coronavirus impacting all of our lives and unemployment expected to reach levels not seen since the Great Depression, the last thing you need to worry about are your credit card bills. In these uncertain times, it's important to know you are not alone, and Lose Debts has set up a special debt relief helpline for anyone who owes $10,000 or more in credit card debt. With our debt reset program, your debt can be reduced by more than half and all future interest will be eliminated, making you debt-free in as little as 24 months. We understand the need to save money, so we do not charge upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. Best of all, we provide a 100% money-back guarantee. What are you waiting for? Speak to our agents today at 800-790-4941. That's 800-790-4941. Quit losing sleep over your credit card balance. Call us for help. 800-790-4941. Again, 800-790-4941.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. Let's get right to it. Chris Grandroot is here. I tell you what, Chris, hang on just a second. Mark gave me the, oh my God, what are you doing? Give us just a second. We're going to talk about sponsors. Go ahead, Sam. What do we got here?
I got McKay's Dodge in Waite Park. If you need a vehicle, check out, call Travis at McKay's. The nice thing is the customer service there is second to none. Whether you need a Dodge, a Jeep, a Chrysler, go to McKay's in Waite Park.
Thank you, Devil's Lake Tourism. Walleye season's open 365 days a year. Wonderful place. We can't wait to go there in a couple weeks. So if you're looking for a place to go this second half of the summer, go to Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
That was it. Okay, we got Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park and up in Grand Rapids as well. I'll tell you what, we were up there a month and a half or so ago, and it was wonderful, about 5 miles south of Bemidji. It's Lake Plantagenet, and it's a place where the state record, or maybe the country record.
Jumbo perch.
Jumbo perch, like
state record.
3-point-some pounds.
World record.
Balsam Beach, I don't know, Balsam Beach Resort in RV Park. And then our newest sponsor is Rainy Days Guide Service. And Rainy, hey, Chris Grandroot. Chris, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I want to catch one of those two-pound perch.
Hey, this was up at Lake Plantagenet on Balsam Beach Resort, just 5 miles south of Bemidji, and it was 3 pounds, 4 ounces, I believe is what it was. Many years ago, but they've got...
Bring me there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful lake. We had a great time, and it was funny because You know, we weren't catching squat. We caught a couple of small ones during the day, and finally we started talking to some of the regulars up there, and they said, here's what you got to do. Well, as soon as it gets dark, follow the parade, because all the locals and all the resort people just take their boats and follow this one island. It was just fun. But just, Balsam Beach Resort is a great place. Hey, Chris, Brandon asked me to ask you. Brandon's our engineer. Can you hear me real well? Because sometimes people have a hard time hearing us.
I didn't ask you to do any of those things. Said that if they say they're having a hard time hearing you, to investigate and try to find out why. But
you're a liar, Brandon.
I said I nothing of the sort.
I can hear you.
What the hell good am I?
You're
am
throwing
I doing
me
here?
Under the bus.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. How are you?
Darn good. I'm glad to be here.
You know, well, you weren't even fishing today. I talked to Chris earlier today and reminded him we're going to be on tonight at about 6:20, and you weren't fishing. Tell the boys what you were doing.
We were out. My wife and I were out getting some sights ready for bear hunting. So we had through the guidance, we had 9 captains are on the water, and I headed the opposite direction. I headed in the woods.
And Kelly likes to hunt bear as well.
Yes, yeah. So she drew a tag this year, and so Kelly and her dad both drew a bear permit. So we were just out there kind of seeing if we could withstand the deer flies. There were this gazillions of deer flies out there.
Oh boy, you know, Chris Grandwood owns Rainy Days Guide Service on Rainy Lake, and it's a great story. You've grown so much over the last. I think you started this thing in about 2006. It's been 14 years, give or take. And by the way, I'm going to wish you and your wife early. I'll be the first one to wish you your happy 6th anniversary, I think it is, right? Coming up?
Yeah.
Couple of weeks?
Thank you.
Couple of weeks? Yeah, last time she was at my house, she was telling me all about it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, I'll tell you what, Chris, your story, we'll talk about Rainy Days Guide Service as well, but your story is really, really good. Because remember, if you saw my video, maybe you did or did not, I say some people talk the talk, you actually walk the walk. And all of a sudden, at one point in your life, you said, I'm out of here, I'm done with this corporate stuff, I'm going to do something I've really wanted to do my entire life, and you did it. Talk about your background and how you got to be the owner and top guide of Rainy Days Guide Service.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I owned a business in southern Minnesota, and I was working probably 90 hours a week. And I had a lot up here on Rainy Lake, and I would come and I'd fish here for literally, you know, 2 days straight. And then I'd cruise back, and I'd work for, you know, a month straight, and then I'd come back. And finally, one day, I decided that I wanted to move up here and took a chance. And it was, frankly, a pretty big chance. I came up here, built a home, sold out of my business, and started a guide service. It was kind of interesting. My dad was an engineer, and engineers think a little bit differently than I do. He said, well, what are you going to do for a living? I said, well, I'm going to be a fishing guide. And he said, oh. Well, what are you going to do for, like, a job? And I said, well, that would be my job. I'll be a fishing guide. So it was a, you know what, it any kind of entrepreneur business is tough to start with, but it turned out good.
You know, when you started this business in 2006, I believe, you didn't – how many people did you know, and how did you start this business? Because up north, like in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, where we are, It's kind of a good old boys club. Everyone's got everything locked up. You know what I'm talking about. It's got to be hard to break. You're a new kid in town. How do you break into a big product like Rainy Lake?
Yeah, that was a very, very good point. Good question. So I didn't know anybody up here. Literally knew nobody. Didn't have any friends up here. Didn't have any family up here. But I loved Rainy Lake, and I fell in love with Rainy Lake. And I had been fishing there for quite a few years. And I came up here, and I kind of started on my own. And was really kind of guiding kind of by myself for about 8 years. And the business got good enough that it was more than I could handle. And then I started adding captains to our service. And, now we have 11 captains. So we do a roughly 800 guide trips in about a 5-month period of time. So it's been a crazy ride. And really, at this point, it's really all about our captains. I mean, we've just been real careful to make sure that we've got guys with a lot of passion and passion for fishing and passion for people. And it's worked out real well.
You know, you ran a bar, you owned a bar, restaurant, and a bowling alley. Was that Zumbrota?
Yeah. Well, so I was from Zumbrota, But the bar and restaurant that I was in partnership was in Wabasha, the Grumpy Old Men Town.
Yeah,
so we kind of served the boating community there. So it was fun too. We were down on the river down there, but they were fishing. We were catering in the bowling center in the restaurant, and we just took us one step further, and now we're catering on the lake.
Hey, Chris, producer Mark here. Do you remember your first paid guide trip up there? Can you describe what was it like taking the first person out? Were you as nervous as I would have been?
Yeah, it's so funny that you asked me that because, you know, it's out of all the guides, I've taken over 1,600 personal guide trips, but I remember it, and I remember a reef I called Circus Reef for some reason. This guy worked for the circus, and it was my first trip. And I was so nervous. I mean, you know, nobody was really rooting for me to do well. I was fishing so hard, and the guy caught a liminal walleyes. And I remember to this day, I call that spot Circus Reef. And I came back to the dock, and I was just, I mean, there was so much relief, you know, that we actually had caught anything. But then it actually did pretty well. And I guess, you know, confidence is everything. So the next day, I felt like I had it figured out.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam here. Did that customer ever come back to you?
You know, no, actually, he hasn't.
But he caught a limit, so it's not on you, right?
Too much. I must have taught him too much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, you know, you've had, like you said, like 500 trips a summer, I think your guides do on a regular basis. That seems like a lot of
800.
Fishing. 800? How many trips?
We'll do between 700 and 800.
Wow.
We did. You know, obviously with this COVID deal, we were shut down for a couple months to start the season. But then when we got into June here, we did just over 200 trips in June alone. So it's you know, at this point, I'm guiding obviously as well, but I'm helping try to manage and coordinate everybody's schedules. And you can imagine when you've got sometimes you have 25 to 35 different customers on the water through the guide service, and everybody's, you know, question and trip is important. So I'm helping try to coordinate that with all of our captains and make sure that everything is going good.
Hey, Chris, Mark here. How do you find captains or vet that out? And do you feel like you have to, you know, hey, you should go over here today, or are they pretty much, they know the lake well enough that they can always find fish?
Yeah, you know, our captains are good fishermen, and they're pretty good at sharing information together. And I will tell you, the hardest thing I think about guiding is just getting good people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, that seems to be the key. You know, I mean, when people get into guiding, they think it's going to be all about their fishing skills. And you know, I'm a really good fisherman. I'll tell you, it's going to be about your people skills. You know, a lot of times, the mental anguish of maybe not being on a really good bite or maybe having some people in the boat that you don't necessarily click with right away. But being able to connect with different people on a daily basis, that seems to really be the key. So, you know, our best captains are just great with people. They'll take whoever it is that comes up to the dock, and a half an hour later, they're great friends and they're laughing, they're having fun. And then the fish are the bonus. So if you're a great people person, you do well. It seems like in everything, whether it's guiding or anything else. So.
That's right.
Hey, Chris, to piggyback Mark's question, so is there like a game plan for the day? So we have 10 different guides. We know we're not going to hit the same spot. Like, is there like a board you guys hit that say, all right, I'm going to bring these guys here? And what's the plan of attack on that type of thing?
Yeah, you know, we try to stay out of each other's way if we can. You know, I mean, if the bite gets kind of spread out where there's lots of different bites going, then, yeah, we're very courteous with each other and making sure that we're giving everybody room. If the bite gets tight and it gets real tough, we'll talk behind the scenes and try to figure out, make sure that everybody's on the same page and get a plan together so everybody can have some success, because there's nothing worse than being in the guide boat and being off the bite or being behind the bite or what have you. It's you know, it's like hockey. You start squeezing the stick, you know, you start getting some fish right away. Everything goes right. If you're not getting right away, you're not a very good fishing guide.
you sound like the deadliest catch when they're not, you know, they're talking to each other all the time, man. I need some help over here. And they help each other out, of course. Hey, I'll tell you what, something you said to Mark was really, really important to me, because Devil's Lake has been our premier sponsor for many, many, many years. And I've only been on Rainy a couple of times and had always great success on Rainy. Tom Baddock took me up there a couple of years ago. We just did some great things. But we're going to Devil's Lake here in a couple of weeks, and we're excited about it. And our sponsor is Devil's Lake Tourism, not just Devil's Lake. So we're going to do the whole gamut. We're going to, for the first time ever, we're going to hire a guide. We're going to hire a guide. Yeah. And we're looking forward to that. And what I tell you, what, I would rather hire a guy that's a good guy, who's a lot of fun, who takes care of you, and not catch any fish, than hire somebody who's just going to be an old stick in the mud and fish for 4 hours and take you home. So the personality.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, you know, about a guy, you know, I mean, it's a service, right? So, I mean, whenever Kelly and I go somewhere or we go to different bite, we hire guides. I mean, it's not necessarily because we might not be able to figure out the bite or what have you, but we like service. I mean, we like to be taken care of. And you know what? I don't mind not having to land the boat. And I don't mind having to, you know what?
Yeah.
I get to kick back. He can drive me around. I can get some fish. I mean, it is all about service, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you'll really, really enjoy that. And obviously Devil's Lake is a great area. So.
Yeah, it is.
I'll tell you, though, Chris, Rainy Lake is a special place for me. Like I said, I went there with Strew a couple years ago. I think it was 5 years ago already, something like that. And I was with my dad, and it was one of the first times I've ever had anyone else take me out fishing. And I caught my personal best walleye and my personal best smallmouth within an hour of each other.
Yep.
And it was one of the most incredible fishing experiences of my life. That I think that just says some, and we caught some of the biggest crappies I've ever seen in my life. So there's something to be said about that area. It's just an incredible, incredible fishery.
It really is, guys. I mean, we're real lucky. I mean, it's a great body of water. One of the reasons why, because I didn't have any ties to Rainy Lake in particular, when I decided I wanted to become a fishing guide and to fish for the rest of my life, the reason why I chose Rainy Lake is it's such a diverse fishery. So I always kind of chuckled when I'd read fishing reports. You know, the little one paragraph fishing reports. They're getting fish at 18 to 26 feet on leeches, and they're, you know, I mean, there's so many different bites going on at one time. I mean, it's so diverse. So I mean, you can catch fish in 30 feet and in 4 feet and on leeches and shiners and crankbaits. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on. And the quality of the fish is tremendous. I mean, just some really great fish in this fishery.
Hey, Chris, when you started the business in 2006 and sold your business down wherever it was, Wabasha, were you married at that time?
What's that?
Were you married at that time?
Yeah, so, I'll tell you. So to be real frank, so I went through a divorce when I sold that business. And, it actually turned out pretty good. I ended up coming up here. It was a great time for a change, and everything kind of turned out good. And that's when I met Kelly, and I still think she's probably just looking for my fishing spot. So I'm real cautious with her.
That's funny.
The fisherman. I mean, I'm still cautious.
The reason I brought that up is it's got to be so difficult to have a family or whatever and decide to make that big jump. I can't picture that happening when you have a successful business. That would have to be tough, man.
Yeah, there's no question about that. There was a lot of different changes there that we had to make, and you know, it wasn't really easy. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, difficult times there. You know, I mean, but I'm excited. We're around a big group of guys. We've got a huge customer base. I mean, you know, most of these guys fish with us every single year. I mean, my schedule, frankly, is guys I fish with for 8, 9, 10 years. I mean, at this point, we're kind of just friends. You know, they don't expect much out of me, so we're gonna be good.
Hey, Chris, I'll tell you, we're gonna wrap it up, and I want you to tell our fans and listeners how they can reach you. But I'll tell you what, if I get up there and I have you take me fishing, I've got to have a glass of wine on the deck overlooking that beautiful area you have. And your house is stunning, and your views are beautiful. I want to sit on that deck and have a glass of wine. That's a beautiful spot you have up there.
Let's make that happen. Let's make that happen.
All right, buddy. How do our listeners find you?
Well, our website is rainydaysoutdoors.com. So www.rainydaysoutdoors.com. And that'd be the best way to get a hold of us. We got their email and then our telephone number there. And we also got a pretty active Facebook page. We try to update our anglers' catches every day.
I'm excited about your success, young man. See you ahead of Kelly. Keep going and keep kicking some butt. And hopefully we'll have you on again, and we'll get up there sometime.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great night.
See you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Gonna be right back with Ted Takasaki.
Awesome.
He's a big shot. Mark Fishin was Ted Takasaki. Talk to you guys later, and be right back after this word.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show is back July 18th and 19th at the Lakeville Haas Arena. Buy, sell, trade, all in one place. Social distancing and masks are recommended. Visit crocodileproductions.com for details. That's crocodileproductions.com.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust a Strew Man on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. 5 miles south of Bemidji is Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's all about families with 8 cabins and 30 campsites. Lake Plantagenet is the home of the Minnesota record 3-pound, 4-ounce perch and a gill net survey with 19 walleyes per net, one of the very highest counts in the state. This place truly is a family dream. Find out why Balsam Beach Resort was awarded Resort of the Year in 2019. You can find their 2020 brochure at balsambeachresort.com, and we thank you.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf and Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Total Country Bob FM.
And we are back with the Four Outdoorsmen on this lovely Sunday night. I'm going to roll through some shout-outs here while we get Ted, our guest, on. A couple shout-outs, one from Chad Daniels. Hometown Hero Outdoors spent 3 days up on Red with Brad Hawthorne and Lyle Unger. Wildlife fishing, we had 15 heroes over 3 days, all catching their limits. What a great picture. Our friend John Marshall says, another fun derby in the books for the Minnesota SATT Trail. We fished Mille Lacs today, found a few small jaws. Good job to everyone fishing the derby. Beautiful but warm day on the pond. Justin Zeiss says, big hello from the Zeiss family. Spent this weekend on Mille Lacs searching for smallies and pike. Managed to catch this walleye on a crayfish crankbait in 6 feet of water. I think I attracted him with my walleye camo pattern on my sleeve. I agree. And James Donnelly Jr., sporting a sweet new tat, said, went out into the woods on Friday and got a tattoo to show my appreciation for it. That is, that's hardcore. Good for you, man. All right, Strew, do we?
I do. I think we got Ted. Ted Takasaki. Are you on the air, my friend?
I'm right here. Sorry about that little mix-up. I tried answering and wouldn't let me answer.
You know, our engineer Brandon came running in and says, you got the wrong number. I said, son of a bucket, do I run? So we're scrambling around here. That's why I'm 5'7", 154 pounds. I keep running around. But
there you go.
All right, Ted Takasaki is the real deal. Ted was, I love the story because Ted was born in a little town in Illinois, 600 people, and all of a sudden somehow he becomes a you know, United States Freshwater Hall of Fame fisher person. How does that happen, Ted? How did you start your career?
Well, you know, it never really started like that. I didn't even really, I mean, all my dad took me fishing when I was younger. I mean, for catfish and bluegills and bass. I went to the University of Illinois with an and graduated with an engineering degree, got out of there, met a went to work for Arthur Anderson and Company. You know, had a friend of mine that I met in college, my fraternity. He worked for Hewlett Packard, got me a job at Hewlett Packard. Sold computers for a number of years, and basically John and I started fishing a little bit, and we went to this lake called Okoboji, Lake Okoboji mm-hmm. in Iowa.
Yeah, everybody knows that one, yeah.
Yep, caught my first walleye there. This is after college.
Isn't that something?
Never even seen a walleye before. And, you know, I mean, it kind of started things off. I mean, you know, got really interested in this fishing thing and took all the classes, all the seminars, read all the books, all the magazines I possibly could. And then John and I fished a tournament. It was right outside the Chicago area on the Illinois River. We didn't catch a fish that first tournament.
Well, yeah. And I want to do this for a career. Yeah.
And so did a whole 190 other teams.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, it was the Illinois River at flood stage. You know what I mean? It was like 5 feet over flood stage, and there was refrigerators and cows and everything else up and down the river. You know, couldn't see an inch, you know. So yeah. 10 teams actually did catch a fish, and they took the top 10 places. So. And we were all tied for 11th after that. But, but you know, we kept saying, and we were taking fishing classes from a guy by the name of Spence Petros. He was the editor of Fishing Facts magazine. And, you know, we kept saying, well, we can't be that bad. So we decided the next year to do another tournament. And we didn't catch a fish in that one either. It was on Muskegon Lake. It was a tributary off of Lake Michigan, and very, very clear water, very cold. But again, you know, we didn't catch a fish. But, you know, again, about 170 or 165 teams didn't either.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so you know, I mean, first two tournaments, you didn't catch anything. You're probably thinking that, you know, you're not really that good. But then the next year after that, we decided, well, let's just do them all and see how we do. Well, we did them all. We did well enough to qualify for the MWC this Masters Walleye Circuit Championship.
Yep.
So we were one of like 50 teams or something like that. And the day before the tournament started, my father passed away.
Oh.
So I had to leave and go back home. It wasn't very far away. Still, it was a tournament in Illinois. It was on the Mississippi River out of Dubuque, and I lived in Chatsworth, well, Chicago area at that time. So, and then my mom was down in Chatsworth, which is about 100 miles south of Chicago. So it was all in Illinois. So I ran back home, started taking care of things, and Johnny pre-fished the day before the tournament. I called him up that evening. I said, you need me to come back. He said, oh, no. I had a good day of practice today. And at the time, the limit was 10 fish per team.
Wow.
All right. So you could catch and keep and weigh 10 fish. So he said, I can catch 10 fish by myself. You know, so I said, all right, I'm going to need another day. I'll come the second day of the tournament. It's a 3-day tournament. Well, that first day, as Johnny was going out with his boat, the tournament director says, well, you can catch and keep 10 fish, but you can only weigh 5 since there's only one of you.
Well, that doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah. It didn't seem fair at all, did it? You know, I didn't think so either. But nonetheless, it was too late for me to get there.
Yeah.
So he went out. He caught his 10 fish, weighed 5. I got to the second day, the bite was a little bit tougher, and the third day was a little bit tougher, and, you know, we still caught fish, you know. I mean, we ended up in fourth place, little under 4 pounds out of first.
Wow. And that was 1990, right?
This was like, yeah, 1990,
right.
Somewhere in there. And so we got, you know, we were 4 pounds out of first place. And we didn't get to weigh 5 fish.
Man.
5 walleyes are pretty much, you know, 15 inches.
Yeah.
5 15 inches would be 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
So we kept thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, we got but, you know, we were in fourth place. We got to enjoy this indoor weigh-in. And, you know, I mean, they roll our boats in, and we were lifting fish out of the live well. It was.
That's cool.
2,000 people were cheering. I mean, that's when I decided I wanted to be a professional fisherman.
So in 1990, when you placed fourth, what did you guys win, a can of coffee or something? What did fourth place pay?
Yeah, I think it was like $8,000 or $6,000. So it wasn't a lot, but, yeah. You know, I mean, for us, that was the biggest victory we ever had, you know, I mean. And just the thought that, you know, we had... You know, if I'd been there the first day, I probably would have won that tournament.
You know, you're talking about he had to fish all the stuff, the prep work that goes into what you guys do. We just talked to Chris Grandrud from Rainy Days Guide Service
I know Chris real well.
Great guy. And he said hi. As a matter of fact, Mark Fisher's looking at me right now, and he told me to say hi to you as well. But
you bet.
He's a good man. But now I asked Chris the same thing when he started. Were you single when you and John Campbell decided, let's give this thing a shot? Were you single when you started this gig in 1985, 1990?
You mean at the,
Were you married? Were you married at that time?
Oh, was I married? Yes, I was married.
That's got to be so hard because I read something in one of your bios that it said, you know, when you guys started, you would like on Thursday and Friday you would pre-fish. And or Wednesday, whatever it is, and Saturday and Sunday was the fish. Then Monday you go back to work, and Tuesday and Wednesday you go get ready for the next trip, and then Thursday and Friday you'd pre-fish again. I mean, that's
right.
How do you keep a marriage together? How do you keep a family going?
Well, you know, yeah, that was right when my daughter was born, and you know, I mean, it was all that period of time she'd just grown up. So yeah, I wasn't home much, but we worked hard at trying to keep things together at that point. You know, it was just. It was a lot of sacrifice, yeah. And you know, I mean, being a professional fisherman, it's not an easy gig.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
You really got to rely upon name recognition. You have to rely upon sponsors. You have to do well in the tournaments. You have to travel a lot outside the tournament. You know, because during the winter is your busy season as far as seminars and sports shows are concerned.
Let's talk about the tournament in 1998 when you won the big one. What? Remember the tournament and you guys won? Maybe it was you and John. Was he your partner throughout the entire time?
No. At the beginning was a team tournament circuit. Okay. And then we started fishing the professional walleye trail in about 1991, 92, right in that time frame. And 98 was that was an individual tournament.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, that was the first $100,000 payout in walleye history. So that was certainly the most exciting period of time for me. And I mean, and what was great about it is that I won the tournament on Lindy Fuzzy Grub, which Lindy was one of my first sponsors.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then I called the president of Lindy Fish and Tackle at that time. His name was Nick Adams. I said, "Hey, Nick, you can't believe it. I just won the PWT championship on a Lindy Fuzzy Grub. Isn't that incredible?" And he said, "That's great, Ted. By the way, I'm retiring." And, you know, anytime a sponsor who's paying you money says they're retiring, you're wondering, well, geez, who's going to replace them, you know? So that's the next question I asked him. I said, "Hey, well, Nick, who you're retiring. Who's taking your place?" And he says, "Well, we're interviewing right now." And I just blurted out at that point, and I said, "How about me? What about me?"
There you go. I can be president of Lindy. I can do this.
Yeah. You know, he says, "Well, what about you?" So, I mean, I had it ready. You know, I said, "Well, I just won this big tournament. You know, I've got a lot of marketing and management experience through Hewlett-Packard. I can fish. You know, I mean, I know a lot about the fishing tackle industry." You know, and he says, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a chance. You can interview with the board of directors, the owners of Lindy." And
yeah.
I interviewed with the chairman and the board and a bunch of other people, and I got the job. That was probably the best job I've ever had. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. You know, we doubled revenue and quadrupled profit in 10 years, and you know, I mean, I think I had a big part in getting that done.
Well, so that's a thrill. You know, about 1999, give or take, it's all of us in goodbye HP corporate life and hello Brainerd, huh?
That's exactly right. We moved and moved the family up to Brainerd, and it was, you know, it was just a great, great opportunity. I mean, 10 years later, we sold the company, and at that point, I was making more fishing tournaments anyway than I was as the president of Lindy, and so it just was the right thing to do to start fishing professionally full time.
Do you recall when you won the $100,000 in 1998? What was second place? How much did you win by as far as weight goes?
Oh, it wasn't by much. It was like a quarter pound, a third of a pound.
Oh, that must have been exciting. So you really had no idea till you're standing on stage and they're weighing all these fish, right? You have not a clue.
Not a clue, yeah. As soon as he said what I needed, and they weighed the fish, they said what it was, I was pretty much jumping up and down.
Holy.
It was pretty exciting time of my life. Yeah, you bet.
Sam's got a question for you.
Hey, Ted, do you remember the second place prize?
I think at that point, second place prize, well, see, the $100,000 wasn't all cash either.
Yeah.
I think it was a boat, motor, truck, and some cash. So
and
the truck,
and,
I think,
and
was
a
about 15,000.
There was a lifetime supply of Lindy Fuzzy Gribs and grubs. I know that was in there, but no, just
right, exactly. You know, I mean, it was. You know, back then, though, you know, even when I sold the truck and the boat, and you know, I mean, you still left with probably about $65,000, which at that point was a pretty good amount of money. So, you know, I mean, it was just an exciting time in my life, and you know, like I said, when I started working with working at Lindy and being the president and being able to make some of the decisions, it just rounded everything out. I mean, I started, you know, I converted a lot of what we were doing as far as print advertising into television advertising, and obviously part of paying for the television advertising was that our products had to be in the editorial of the television shows. So I appeared in a lot of different television shows at that time, and it really built a name, and everything worked out well. You know, just it all fell into place. Let's put it that way.
Good for you. And you're still fishing competitively, but with COVID and all that, 2020 has been all screwed up. What's that picture look like for the rest of the year for you? Any tournaments coming up?
We haven't had one. Every single one of them has been canceled. Ugh. I do have one coming up, the first one of the year, which is the National Walleye Tour now. That's the big Walleye Tour this year, or now, called the National Walleye Tour, and that's going to be on Green Bay. I'll leave next a week from this coming Friday, in fact. Today's Sunday. So next week, this week, Friday, I'll leave to practice for 5 or 6 days, and the tournament starts on Thursday, I believe, next Thursday, a week from this coming Thursday.
We're talking with Ted Takasaki. One more question, sir. We're going to let you go. In 2010, you were voted into the National Freshwater Hall of Fame, like Mark Fisher, I think, over here, I believe, is the same thing, I think. But anyway, I think, I compare it to baseball, I think Tony Oliva should be in the Hall of Fame. Is there anybody you know right now who is not in the National Freshwater Hall of Fame that you say, damn, that guy should be in there, or lady?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. Boy, you know, I'd have to give that some thought. I mean, because a lot of the well-known television personalities, a lot of the tournament professionals are in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Tommy Scarless, who's got brain cancer right now, he certainly is deserving. He just got inducted in the Freshwater Fish Hall of Fame. So and then my good buddy John Campbell, he was inducted as well. So, you know, as far as that is concerned, I mean, I think there's so many great fishermen. It's very difficult to be inducted, and I think that they've done a pretty good job with the selection of the people that's in it.
I tell you what, have a great time in the next couple of weeks in Green Bay. Good luck, and do me a favor. I'll bother you in about 3 weeks, I promise you. I will bother you, and I'm going to ask you two questions. How did you do in Green Bay, and number two, who should be in the Hall of Fame that isn't? I'm going to ask you those two
right.
Questions. You got time.
I'll give that some very serious thought over the next 2 weeks, I promise.
Ted Takasaki, you are a great man, and you're a generous man for taking the time, because I know you're busy. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Good luck, and be safe the rest of the summer, all right?
Thank you very, very much, guys. All right. Really appreciate it.
Have fun. Take care of yourself. That's one nice man there.
Cool guy.
Think of that.
Really
cool. Can you picture, I don't care if it's $1,000 and you have the weigh-in and you win something by a quarter of a pound? You got to be kidding
me. No, that's cool. That's a really cool story. You know, kind of did it the hard way, you know, put in his time, put in his hours.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, is the president of Lindy.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
You know, and picture this. You know, if you don't ask, you'll never find out.
Yeah.
If he didn't ask the question, they never would have thought
why
about
not me?
Ted. Yeah.
Hey, well, why you?
We're all in sales. We've been told no.
Yeah. All they can say
is no.
Can't
what you don't ask.
And he told me this. He said, well, I read this someplace, but 2008, when he sold it. He was president of Lindy at that time. Sold it just before the stock market went belly up.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. I'll tell you what. Hey, I hear some music. That's got to be.
What is this here?
Wait for it.
This is for me, I think.
No.
Nope. It's not. It's a little special something for Mark Lukey.
All right.
Who turns 40 tomorrow.
There you go.
The big 4-0 right here.
I forgot it has a super long intro, but it is Stevie Wonder with Happy Birthday.
Wonderful.
Happy birthday, Mark.
It's a great tune.
Well, thank you, Brandon. Thank you, everyone. Yes, I turn 40 tomorrow. I'm excited to go to dinner with my wife and drop the kids off somewhere.
My house.
Already lined up. I don't trust you anymore.
You're a smart man.
Well, happy birthday, Mark. We
thank
love you.
Thank you.
So are we going to stop talking right now or just keep listening? And what do we do here?
We can just keep listening to Stevie Wonder. Are you unable to throw to the next show without your specific bumper music? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, give us the good stuff.
There you go.
There you go. The good stuff.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. The Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman, Brandon, Sam, Mark, Lukey, I'll tell you, but hell of a show. Ted Takasaki, thank you very much. Chris Granrud, Rainy Days, DAZE Guide Service. Check them both out. In the meantime, I tell you what, get outside if you want, but Mark's got something to say as well.
Get outside and make some memories this week, everybody.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you.